Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, and welcome back to the Full 90s Sucker Time Podcast, our weekly... our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, and an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty and barely funded at all. It's MLS. We're your hosts from Mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and evidently they have podcasts in Spokane. He's Brandon from the internet.
You know, most of our podcasts are about why guns are good and why... aren't.
Yeah, sure. Build the wall next to...
Yeah, build the wall through Cleellum.
Keep those leftists out of here.
Oh, man.
It's... We're off to a great start. Let's go.
Yeah. How many bleeps have we already used? I hope you bleeped
just
out...
Just one.
I hope
just
you bleeped out because I feel terrible about saying that. Yeah, you know what? I was walking past a... house the other day. I was walking my dogs and there is a house down the street from us. Actually, I would say that we live in a pretty blue pocket of Spokane where our house is, but like two blocks down there is a house with signs out front that are like, it's time to secede, it's go, you know, 51st state of liberty or whatever.
Woo,
it
liberty.
Is
liberty, 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 liberty. There's already a theme song.
How'd you know our national anthem already? I'm always waiting for my dog to time his poop in their yard so that I can just leave it and keep going. I feel like a terrible person for doing something like that, but a little
you
bit
got
less
two
terrible.
Dogs.
Yeah.
two dogs, so that's two poops, man. I'll you got
my
better choice. Odds.
Except my greyhound is a white supremacist, so he won't do it, so I don't know.
That's okay. That adds up.
Yeah.
Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts or whatever. Just whatever. If you could just listen.
Well, we have to give them something to listen to. But give us definitely 5 stars for the one podcast we've done in 6 months.
But primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from the homegrowns, Danny Leyva to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Sorry. I mean, Alfonso Ocampo Chavez.
This week, the International Injury Generator. There it is. Take on Sounders FC. Take on the pandemic preseason. Oh my god! First of all, I'd like to say join us at full90podcast.com. It is where you'll find our link tree that will not take you to an OnlyFans page because ain't nobody want that.
Not yet. Speaking of injury generator, I think that the injury generator might have just dealt its largest death blow. To an entire team.
My God.
RIP Sacramento's MLS bid hopes.
Is it over? I mean, is it officially over? Or are they still looking for another billionaire to make that happen?
I think that they'll probably try to look for another billionaire, but I was reading, apparently the owner of Sacramento, the TLDR is that the guy who put up Sacramento for the MLS bid, who was going to back them financially, pulled out completely. And now Sacramento has lost their MLS bid unless they are able to find the funding. It's a $200 million expansion fee. And apparently this dude who was going to fund them didn't pay a cent, not like a down payment. There was no like pre-commitment. You know, when you buy a house, you put in like the earnest money that says if you're to pull out, like you lose all of that money. He did nothing. So Sacramento has like no collateral in the game at all. So
good for them. For MLS.
Yeah, if they could find another billionaire based in Sacramento who wants to front their expansion fee, that'll probably be over $200 million at this point. Good luck. Sorry about that, Sacramento.
That's a lot of pullout talk that you were just doing there. Careful. That's how MLS ends up pregnant.
Well, that's what's going to keep Sacramento around, okay?
So I do a radio show in Sacramento, and it like broke my heart to see that for them, especially since it could be another team to beat up on San Jose, which is what I think we all want. So.
It is what we all want.
Yeah. So we haven't done a podcast since after the Sounders were eliminated from the playoffs. I don't even remember by whom or who won the championship. So that's
considering that the playoff game that we were eliminated from was the final, and it was Columbus Crew. I don't hold it against you for forgetting that happened.
I literally had no idea, Brandon. I had literally no idea that we made it to the MLS Cup final again. We didn't do anything.
We did. No, we did.
But
neither did the Sounders, though, so to be fair.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's what a bummer. I really deflated things.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Off to a good start here. Welcome to season three of this Full 90 Soccer Time podcast.
Is this season three or four? I think this might be four.
I don't know. It would be the extra garbage thing for us to do to not know what season we're on.
Fact.
In case you're new here, we're terrible.
So I got my first sunburn of the year yesterday. That was pretty cool. Get a little sunshine.
How is that possible?
Well, the sun came out, and you're not here, so you don't know. Yeah, the sun was out yesterday, and I am building a retaining wall that is better at defense than the Seattle Sounders back line.
Ouch.
Ouch. Ouch. But I did see What's-His-Nuts has some pretty sweet, what's his name? Javier
Arriaga?
Yeah, that's the guy. Pretty sweet. Well, what is my problem? Have I forgotten the whole team?
So, I mean, we talked about last year about Raul Ruiz Diaz fighting off the coronavirus by injecting bleach, and we've seen what it's done to his hair.
Yeah.
So are we about to... Well, I'm not about to start a rumor that Javi had coronavirus, but...
I'm going to say he didn't because he was preemptive. Preemptive strike.
Preemptive strike against the coronavirus by injecting bleach into his skull.
Hey... That's pretty dope. He's really taking this America thing pretty seriously. Good job, dude.
Okay, every picture that is posted of Javier Arriaga is like the happiest photo that you've ever seen. He's like a puppy who is just always bouncing around. And I finally got around. Well, now this is old news because we haven't podcasted in forever. Uh-huh. But I finally got around to watching Ted Lasso. It took me forever. Everybody was talking about how great it is. I finally got around
still
to watching it. What's that?
I still haven't.
This is not going to land like I was hoping it would. But you should watch it, first of all. You should watch it.
Sure.
Second of all, there's a character in it named Danny Rojas, who is like the happiest guy who runs around the field saying, football is life, football is life, Danny Rojas. And that is Javier Arriaga, in my opinion. Like, the guy that could score 3 own goals.
No,
not me, Fingerwag. and then he leaves. He scores 3 own goals and then leaves the pitch and goes, football is life.
3 own goals would be a brutal day. Oh my
God. The own goal hat trick.
So I've taken the off season pretty seriously, Brandon. I've taken it like some players are out hiking or adventuring or spending time with the family, just getting some rest. And others, Roman Torres, show up for preseason like 20 pounds overweight. And that's where I'm at. I am almost back to preseason, pre-quarantine, pre-COVID fatness since the last time we podcasted. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's been a delicious last 9 weeks or however long it's been. How long do you think we took off?
Too long. I feel like I've known you to do taekwondo, right? Taekwondo?
No.
Karate? Karate? Kenpo. Kenpo.
Yeah, Kenpo karate. Yeah.
Okay, so I've known you to do Kenpo karate, and you liked it because it helped you get into shape. It taught you some sweet self-defense skills. I don't know if you're still doing that or not, but what makes me think by you saying that you've gained a lot of weight and you're back to pre-COVID is that maybe you're taking your Japanese martial arts up a level to our favorite.
You mean for the big basho that's coming up?
Exactly.
Oh, man. They just announced the Banzuke, and there are some interesting moves. Poor Tokushoryu got demoted. He got, you know, everyone who wants pro rel, you should be watching sumo because he got relegated down to the Juryo. It's depressing stuff. And I think really this time around, I think we could see a new Ozeki show up. I think it could. Let me pull up the Banzuki real quick. You know, the important things.
Yeah. So I know that we're working off of the same run sheet here that we were going to record in January, and it didn't happen. But I have a note in here that says I think for the Winter Boss show or for the January Boss show that Taka Keisho did not compete.
Whew, flat. He is he's Kadoban, meaning that if he does not get 8 wins this time, which is a majority of wins in a 15-day tournament, that he will be demoted from the it's considered the top rank anyway, from Ozeki back down to something else. Mm-hmm. But it's beyond that. Tereno Fuji, who had both of his knees damaged, like I think he had like ACL problems in both knees, and then he got diabetes.
The Jordan Morris effect.
Yeah, he got Jordan Morris syndrome, and then he got diabetes, which is...
I mean, I feel like that's probably like the most common Sounders injury generator in the sumo in the sumo field.
He really does have Jordan Morris, both bad knees and diabetes.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! He overcame both. Good news, Jordan Morris. We'll get to that in a minute. He overcame both. He dropped down to what would be like the step below USL. Mm. Like we're talking about Kitsap Pumas.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Pumas.
Yeah.
Tereno Fuji dropped down to that and then worked his way back up. If he gets 10 wins in this basho, I think he's gonna be Ozeki next time. Just saying.
Wow.
Also, if you're in the business world and you're an Ozeki, are you an Ozekutive? Is that
okay.
Is that their CEO? Is it the executive?
I am the chief executive executive.
There we go. The CEO. Got it.
Hey, okay, so speaking of Japan, while we're on the topic.
Yeah, sure.
So we've talked. You've been to Japan. I have now been to Japan. We've talked about the fact that I really love cycling. You really love sumo. We appease each other's interests by talking about those things on this podcast.
Sure.
Now, I think I found something that was specifically created for our friendship. And that is Kirin. That is Kirin Racing. Now, Kirin Racing is track cycling that started in Japan. And I think if you don't know a lot about track cycling, when you see it in the Olympics or something like that, it's a bunch of people in skin tight suits on these carbon fiber bikes and they're going crazy, crazy speeds. Now, in Japan, where this track cycling started, they look like Power Rangers getting on bikes from the 70s and 80s, racing around, trying to knock each other off of their bikes and still sprint as fast as they can around, which makes me think that they just took the best parts of sumo and the best parts of track cycling and put them together to create a sport for us.
And the best parts of Power Rangers.
Exactly. No, seriously, if you look at pictures of these guys, they are wearing, and gals actually, because they do have but the women are allowed to ride bikes from this century. But they wear these like super bright, they look like Power, I mean, I'm not making it up when I say they look like Power Rangers. They wear pads under their jerseys. I now follow a Kirin account where they show, like, you talk about stables, right, for the sumo wrestlers. They all belong to a stable. Well, it's similar in Kirin. They all belong to, I don't know if they call it a stable or whatnot, but they all belong to a school, right? And they show videos, and it starts with one guy riding on his rollers, which is the thing that you can ride your bike on, a stationary roller. And as they pan out, you just see it is literally hundreds of cyclists on these rollers throughout this, like enough to power.
It's wild.
Enough to power like Tokyo. Like if you just connected all of these guys up to, like if you put all these guys on Pelotons.
Why don't they?
I don't know. That would be really smart.
I wonder if it's like, I know that like, I don't know enough about Japan to really comment on this, but I know they're very tribal. Like there's a lot of like, it's not nationalism, but a lot of like pride for your own, whatever they call their states there, which is going to prefecture. And it used to be like hella racist between prefectures. Like if you were from that one and I was from this one, then like if you were like, say, from Liberty and I was in Washington still, like we wouldn't be able to like communicate anymore because we'd have to hate each other. Mm-hmm. And that's like traditional times in Japan. And I'm probably oversimplifying and I'm sorry. I don't mean to be like that. But that's like translated down a lot to like, even like you said, the stables for the sumo wrestlers. and then these small teams and everything. I wonder if that is a leftover, a remnant from that island culture developing like that, where everything is really broken apart.
I think what I found super interesting about both Kirin and Sumo is that, and we've talked about this, having both now been to Japan, is that people are so polite and like they don't want to bother you. They are like very, I don't want to say meek in a negative way. I just mean in a way that they are calm and they are like pleasant, just polite people.
They're honor bound is what it feels like.
Totally.
It's like that. Like if you ask how to get to the train and you don't have a common language, that person will walk you to the right place until you figure it out.
Like, not my experience in Japan. For the record,
oh, really?
I had a terrible train experience. It was the worst.
Man. It was so good. And we just asked every time and people were so helpful until we learned how to use it and then we could do it ourselves.
I think what is crazy to me about the fact that this culture is so polite and pleasant and honor bound is the fact that like the both of the sports that we love are like incredibly violent. it's not just track cycling. It's track cycling where people are wrecking at 35 miles an hour on steel frame bicycles.
God, the collarbones, my God.
Oh, that's why they wear the pads. That's why they wear the Power Ranger pads.
I would be surprised if it works though. That's crazy.
Now all I can imagine is where all of the cyclists get together, enjoy and like create one. This is what Japan should do in the Kirin Olympics. Is they should form a cycling megazord of all of these guys on one big bike.
I'm obviously in. Yeah. You don't have to sweeten me up anymore. Let's go for it.
What do we do wasting our time going to Mars?
So here we are, Brandon, the first day of preseason practices or rehearsals or whatever they're doing here indoors yesterday. Interesting, with the sun shining. I thought that was weird. The team got together yesterday, March 1st. Today's the 2nd. On March 1st, they got together for the first preseason activities and everyone gave their hugs and whatnot. And a special guest was there. Somebody you wouldn't expect to be a guest of the team if we were talking about this the last time we podcasted. Jordan Morris had the most interesting / heartbreaking offseason of maybe anyone on the team.
Yeah, he gets transferred for a loan, not a full transfer, but he gets loaned over to Swansea City. This feels like such old news at this point because we haven't podcasted in so long. He gets loaned over to Swansea City over playing in the championship right below the Premier League. And they're based in Wales, in Swansea, in the city of Swansea, why they're called Swansea City.
That was back in the middle of January, which feels like the late 80s at this point.
Yeah, totally. And he plays in a couple games as a substitute, finally starts a game, and tears his ACL basically immediately. And Swansea's like, all right, back to Seattle with you. Off you go. And now he's back. He's back in Seattle, unable to play for anybody.
The parallels between the first time he did his knee and the second time he did his knee, where it's like basically right at the beginning, it's in a match that is going to greatly affect the Sounders' regular season should he have returned.
Mm-hmm.
Just awful stuff. So to see him back at the facility yesterday, I could only notice one thing. They showed everybody coming up and giving him a hug and everything, and it's like, you're all wearing masks, right? And you're all doing social distancing, except for when everyone rubs faces with Jordan Morris, who's been overseas.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's probably been back for a couple of weeks, but
yeah, sure.
I don't know.
No, but we had a mask on. It's the old, it's not defense.
Exactly. Oh my God. It's really so because I'm bad at my job. I don't know if it's the same knee or if it's a different knee.
I don't know. It's a different knee. Someone else looked it up for me.
Okay. I've heard that that's pretty common. Like if you tear an ACL in one knee, it's all like only a matter of time until you do the other knee because you overcompensate on the other knee. Even if you feel full strength, you end up overcompensating in some way. I love looking at our notes from when we were going to do this podcast in January, where we were talking about Jordan transferring overseas, and I loved like some of the tweets from people that feel incredibly relevant now. From Gervin O or Gervin Zero, Kyle says, Roldan and Morris having to zoom their friendship is the real heartbreaker here. Well, not anymore.
Yeah, let's put that heart back together.
From Steve, he says, there's no way Jordan, not Scuba Steve to be clear, he says, there's no way Jordan Morris is going to be able to play a regular Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday championship schedule. You're not wrong.
Correct.
Not for the reason you thought. And that's really it. I mean, it's I think Swansea was really excited to have him, and then they lost him. Paul Areola is a guy who used to play for DC United, who Jordan Morris is really close with on the stop laughing at his last name. He was really good friends with. Jordan convinced him to go sign for Swansea on loan, and then Jordan immediately just like takes off back to Seattle. It's like, have fun in Wales, idiot.
I mean, it wasn't like he took off. He was like, psych, and then he just gets on a plane and flies away. That'd be awesome.
Our takes here were, does Dr. Morris go as part of the deal? Also, can he prescribe cocaine? I don't know what that was about.
Hey, that's a good take. It's solid.
Yeah.
It's about as good as anyone else's take at the time. Yeah.
So
what is this QAnon thing?
I don't know. Oh, we really should have revisited this. No, but actually...
No, it's better that we didn't. Hold on.
Here's a great take from Tropic Sounders, who always have the best takes. If you're not following us, at least go follow them.
100%. Don't screw us.
Forget us. Go follow them. Actually, they can have this podcast. So the question is really, because we'll get to this in a second, like all of the departures from the Sounders this offseason, not a lot of incoming players. So Tropic Sounders had the best call. Who's going to replace Jordan Morris? Some of their ideas were Clint Dempsey, Messi, Lofa Tatupu, Harry Ship, Paul Gascoigne.
So far, only one of those people might be able to do it. Just
Lofa Tatupu?
The one and only.
Steve Nash, Tony Hawk, Blake Shelton, Tiffany Trump, the bassist from Creed. Dude, I actually listened to Creed last night. That's weird.
Don't admit that. What are you doing?
I know, I'm sorry. Korean barbecue tacos, Chef Boyardee, my Uber Eats guy, which might be Harry Ship, who knows, Popeye's chicken sandwich, Mitch from General Nutrition Center in the mall, and Wario.
It's me, Wario. I'm going to win.
Hey, with that kind of attitude, that's what we need.
Hey, I figured out the, this is just unrelated, and it was in, I saw somebody on the subreddit Collapse. Is what it's r/r/collapse on Reddit. And they were breaking down how QAnon is just a brilliant pyramid scheme that's tearing apart the fabric of rational discourse. And I was like, somebody get them on a sideline water bottle sponsorship.
Did somebody say pyramid scheme? I heard LA like, Galaxy what? Needs a new shirt sponsor.
I know how we're going to save Sacramento. Don Garber's like, hello, this is Don Garber.
Dong Arbor.
Okay, anyway. Yeah, so the Jordan Morris thing is obviously the biggest issue for this school. Oh, I just got really lightheaded. Oh, man. Am I going to pass out?
You'd be okay.
Crazy.
You about to tear your ACL?
Yeah, I mean, as long as the injury generator doesn't.
Sounders injury generator. Gregor has a case of the floozies.
Sounders Injury Generator, sponsored by QAnon.
Oh, God. My dog's ears just perked up in the background.
It's not a pyramid scheme. Pizzagate's for real. All right. Okay, so there have been some changes. I didn't look at this at all.
We talk about like the people who have left the team, the people who have come into the team.
Okay, let's go there.
All that's really
busy offseason.
All that happened really in the offseason. Some big changes, but less about on the field. Chris Henderson, the Sounders technical director, has gone to be the technical director or sporting director, whatever his title is, for Inter Miami under David Beckham. So that's a sweet gig for him. No, and I guess his daughter goes to like the University of Miami or something like that. So he just wants to be closer or whatever. I don't care. You're dead to me, Chris Henderson. Jordan Morris obviously was a departure, but now has a torn ACL and won't be playing for anybody. But he's back. Ramon Torres has gone to again to go play for a team in Costa Rica, it looks like. And then Matt Johnson, weirdly enough, the voice of the Sounders, is gone. Now, I don't know. I don't think there's been an announcement about somebody who's going to replace him. I don't know who the new voice of the Sounders is going to be. If they're going to just go with a solo call of Costigan, or maybe they're making Zakuani the guy. And I don't know. So it's interesting to see. I'm hoping that they bring in somebody just like awesome.
You think it was a COVID thing?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I honestly don't. I don't think that they were paying Matt Johnson enough money to like cut it because of some contract dispute. So
I mean, they cut other people that weren't making very much. Dude. They like they tightened some budgets there. Like I get it, it's a business, and you don't have you're missing, you know, 17 times a year, 45,000 people hand over anywhere from $20 to $300.
Yeah,
that's a ton of revenue. I mean. Yeah. I feel awful because there's nobody who both could speak for the Sounders and back it up with having been a fan as long as Matt Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, the guy is, Arlo White was great for this team. Ross Fletcher was obviously great for this team and good for this podcast as well. Matt Johnson came in with like a completely different style, right? Like he wasn't a trained BBC broadcaster, right?
Yeah.
But he comes in here with like, kind of like what we try to do as a podcast is be a voice for the fans, right? Like just be, we're just regular fans. We're not super knowledgeable tacticians or anything like that. Matt Johnson isn't either. And he came in there and did a good job and like spoke to the things that, I mean, sometimes I think that you could tell his greenness when it came to broadcasting, and it would annoy me sometimes, but at the end of the day, it's kind of sad to see a guy like that go who has given so much to this club, has been a fan forever. I don't think that he's leaving Seattle or anything like that, but
I would argue that, that by the second or third season he was doing it, that greenness was gone.
Sure.
And now you just had a guy. If you could accuse him of anything, it would be...
saying the score too many times?
No, not even that. Just being a homer. Just being like clearly in the on the side of the Sounders. Like there's... If there's anything, like that would be... But like whatever, that's great. That's fine. That's why you have that guy. Instead of hiring somebody that is a trained broadcaster. And he got there because... Loving, seeing, and saying what's going on is a skill that you can acquire. Some people are better at it than others, but like to describe something that's happening in front of you is you learn how to be efficient with it, and he got way better at it. So,
We've talked about who's out, not a ton of names out, but enough that, you know, some pretty impactful ones, Jordan Morris and Chris Henderson, obviously the big ones. Now, in not a ton coming in either, but a couple things that I think are going to be pretty impactful for the team. One small thing is apparently Henry Wingo got sold on playing in Norway, and the Sounders somehow got $200,000 from a sell-on clause. To me, feels like finding $10 that you forgot about that you left in a jacket 5 years ago.
Exactly. Just lump that in with Tam and Gam, and I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
It's nothing. Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
But it pays for, you know, three new who's, so it's
totally.
Like...
Oh, man. And then the two big ones really are João Paulo, who was here on the loan, is now here permanently. Sounders were able to work out a deal to make his contract permanent, which I think is massive.
Till he dies.
For the team. To be able to see a full season with João Paulo playing in the middle. No more Gustav Svensson playing
there. Yeah, what happened there?
Yeah, actually, that's a good call. Did we not?
That just kind of happened where, like, I saw someone like rumors that the Sounders could try to work a deal for Goose to come, and I was like, "Wait, he's not back."
Yeah.
What's his story?
Well, we actually maybe missed a couple really important ones.
Shocking.
Welcome back. It's still preseason for us too. Okay. So
eternally preseason.
It's forever preseason.
Like some people have endless summer. Ours is just like forever preseason.
So Gustav Svensson, it seems like it's a little bit up in the air, but I think he's all but gone from the team, which is sad.
So too,
I mean,
yeah.
He's an irregular and impactful, huge player for this team, and what we're saying right now probably won't do him justice. Then you've got Kelvin Leerdam, who Golden Clog winner 3 years running, is trying to, the Sounders are trying to bring him back to the team, and hopefully they'll be able to finish that. Except I'm for once feeling pretty strong about the Sounders outside back situation, considering they brought in like seven last season. Runs enough he could play both spots. So
I still feel that Leerdam greater than Alex Roldan.
Oh, of course.
Like,
yeah.
Just a veteran at a position as opposed to a guy who played, you know, five or six matches at the end of the season.
Yeah, Alex Roldan looked great. He looked awesome in the games that he played, but then you get to the MLS Cup.
To a point.
Well, yeah, and then you start him in an important match, and you start to see that he is not a seasoned professional player. He was a guy who was cut by the team and then brought back. You know what I mean? So it's
we call that a budget player.
Exactly.
No offense to Alex.
How many new who's is Alex Roldan is making these days? But I think he earned his contract for the new year. Jovan Jones. I'm choked up about this one. Apparently, Jovan Jones is also gone. And speaking of outside backs that are departing, I mean, Germany must have ruined him because he was not up to par last season when the Sounders brought him back. So I'm not super sad to see that one go, but you know, a bummer that one didn't work out.
Same.
Now on the way in, actually are a few players. We talked about João Paulo is permanently now with the team. Now, Kellen Rowe, who's a player that I think Sounders fans have been trying to get to like will him to the team for the last 5 years. He's played in New England. I think he played in where else? He played in New England and somewhere else. I don't remember anymore. But he's from Federal Way, and he has signed with the Sounders to play the full season. And I'm thinking that what finally did it for him, what the final kind of straw that got him to sign for the team, is that he just really missed Wild Waves.
He's like, that Great Wolf Lodge, when that reopens, first in line.
So that's a big one. And then the Sounders also brought in another local, Spencer Ritchie, as a goalkeeper. Trey Muse, who was an academy goalkeeper, has been sent on loan to play in San Diego. And the Sounders brought in Spencer Ritchie, who spent the last couple of years in Vancouver playing with the Whitecaps.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
With what's his name? Brian Meredith.
Yeah. Where's Brian Meredith? but it's weird. So it seems like, because of the pandemic, a lot of teams are in this spot where they're not willing to just go splash a ton of cash on players, right? The Sounders have just lost their technical director in Chris Henderson and don't have, you know, outside of Garth Lagerwey, don't have a lot of the tactical kind of long-term oversight of the team right now. Everything with Chris Henderson is now gone. And so Chris Henderson was also the main head scout for the Sounders. So that guy was traipsing around the world, looking at players, trying to get them to sign. That's how we got players like Kim Kihee. That's how we got Gustav Svensson, is him going and scouting out these matches. So the Sounders aren't likely, I've read, to bring anybody big or anybody else in until they get a new person in that role, which I feel like we've been in this position with the Sounders before. Oh, we don't want to sign anybody until we sign our new GM, Garth Lagerwey, right? Or, oh, we don't want to sign anybody until our coach is finalized, Brian Spencer, right? So there's always some sort of an excuse about the Sounders not making moves in the winter offseason. It's always the summer offseason that the Sounders, or not the summer offseason, but the summer transfer window that the Sounders start to bring in players. Nobody wants to spend money. Sounders are saying don't expect much right now. So I love this take from Ari Lilienwall, who says, I think that every homegrown for Seattle next year should play 2,000 minutes minimum. It seems like as good a time as any to see what you have, and none of this matters anyway. Society is collapsing all around us at a constant rate, and we took none of the necessary steps to stop it. So firmly puts us in context
Evergreen
of the
tweet.
World.
Yeah. Yeah, like the Men of Blazers say this, play the babies. Just like, let's throw some of these kids out there and see what happens. Because like you did it last year with Alex Roldan. He's not a baby, but like you threw him out there and suddenly you got like a big production out of him. The problem is that you have to satiate the fans who are expecting an MLS Cup run every year. And if you say that you're just going to play the kids and see what happens, I would point to, why don't they just do that at Tacoma Defiance? Also, while we're at it, shout outs to my man. I love me some Wade Weber.
Oh,
he is just the coolest, nicest guy, and his appointment as the head coach of the Tacoma Defiance really makes me so happy because he's just a lovely human being, a music freak through and through, and just a pleasure to deal with all the time. Always has something nice to say. It taught me a lot about watching soccer, watching the defenders and how they play, which is cool as he played that position forever. So, yeah, really couldn't be happier to see what he can do to get that squad delivering some more young talent for the Seattle Sounders. We'll see. Okay, well, in case you just woke up from 6 months of hibernation since the last time we podcasted, it's too long, didn't listen.
Too long, didn't listen.
Welcome to Forever Preseason.
I love it. I love that that is us now.
Too long, didn't listen.
I think we've just found the Japanese Jordan Morris. As my dog starts crying in the background.
You guys racist.
He's racist. Not Jordan Morris, my dog.
Your dog, the white supremacist, yeah, I forgot.
And last, too long, didn't listen.
Brandon sure said pull out a lot.
Been watching a lot of Bridgerton.
This has been the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast. Find us online at full90podcast.com. Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast is a Wizard Bird production.
Hot rubbish. Hot rubbish.